Good morning, and as we sang, power, all power, surely is thine, and we are thankful that through the preaching of the cross, we can access that great power, the power of God. So we encourage all to think of the power of the blood of the Lamb as we worship here this day, and the power to heal and to cleanse and to make us acceptable in the Lord, to atone for our sins. The Old Testament was written for our learning, in that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And certainly Joshua was a leader who had hope in the Lord, and he trusted in the great commander who went before him, and the conquest was successful to the point of where the people could dwell in that land of milk and honey, and they had to continue to fight to resist the temptations that were before them from the nations that were driven out. So, as we read there from Joshua 24, 14 through 15, Joshua made it clear there is a choice to make, and we can express that simple choice. Certainly we have to say it's a black and white choice, whether or not we will serve the true God, true and living God, or whether we will serve the God of this world. But Joshua says, for me and my house, our choice is to serve the Lord. So this morning, we're going to express the choice in a little different manner. We're going to ask that each of us consider this choice. We have a choice to make, and that is whether or not we will be spiritual or whether we'll be carnal. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The church at Corinth at the time of this was written was a very weak church and needed rebuke and correction. And so Paul makes it clear how to become right in the sight of God. It's from the wisdom from above, the wisdom of God. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 together. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? So he clearly drives a wedge there and says, okay, here is the situation and here is the need. You need to be spiritual and not carnal. And you were not taught this way. So it says there in verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. They were given the words of wisdom from above, the mind of Christ, but they had left those things, and envy, strife, and divisions from the carnal ways of man came to them. For we know in Romans chapter 8, it says there, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that is why Paul, with compassion and with exhortation, he stressed the need to be spiritual so that they would have life and peace. Now let us turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Speaking of an aspect of carnality, in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 15, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. As you think of these verses, you see the thrust there, the point he is making, that if we are carnally minded, one of those things we deal with and fall victim to is sexual immorality. But if we realize that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we have of God, and we are not our own. Notice that in verse 19, you are not your own. And that just implies, of course, that Christ paid the price. He redeemed us and brought us out of bondage and gave us that redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So as we think about the importance of keeping our bodies pure and our minds pure, let us think about what we've just read, about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. For we know God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit through the Word. And if the Word of Christ dwells in us richly with all wisdom, then we will be able to keep ourselves pure and keep ourselves as a spiritual house, bringing spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. There's a good example for us When you read this word in verse 18 about the word flee sexual immorality, we go over to the book of Genesis chapter 39. And read the story of Joseph and his wisdom and what he had to overcome. Let's begin reading in verse 1. If you think about, if you know a little bit about the story of Joseph, he was, he had been dreaming dreams, and his brethren were offended, and they ended up casting him into a pit, and he was eventually in Egypt. And as it says in verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord had made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment and said, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. So this is a great example of us, for us. If there's something that's there and just seems to be very persistent in your life that causes you in your heart or in your body to commit anything that's sinful, then flee from it and pursue righteousness and peace and holiness. Jesus spoke of these things as well. Matthew chapter 5. You can see the spiritual message there in his Sermon on the Mount. We're going to read a few verses from that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 30. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you, for it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. So simply put, this is just teaching us about the heart, and that with the heart, man does believe unto righteousness, and if we keep our heart pure with the Word of God, and we continue to let the Word of God dwell in us richly with all wisdom, then we will be able to say no to temptations such as what was given to Joseph, and we will be a spiritual people and please the Lord. As you think about what we read earlier about the temple of the Lord, and we could read about the beauty of the temple in our studies in the Old Testament, let us think about our lives with this, some words from a song. I'd like to read some words from this song, song number 721, As the Life of a Flower. Think about these words that really help us to keep ourselves pure and let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. We read there, as the life of a flower, as a breath or a sigh, so the years that we live as a dream hasten by. True, today we are here, but tomorrow may see just a grave in the veil and a memory of me. As the life of a flower be our lives pure and sweet, may we brighten the way for the friends that we greet, and sweet incense arise from our hearts as we live close to him who doth teach us to love and forgive. While we tarry below, let us trust and adore him who leads us each day toward the radiant shore, where the sun never sets and the flowers never fade, where no sorrow or death may its borders invade. So, yes, that just is a very helpful song, and is also a very sobering song for us. So we think about those words and let them help us when we're tempted. Also, we read about life in the sense of the being like a flower in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40 verses 6 through 8. And the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So we should understand that the word of God, the words that Jesus spoke, the words of truth that we give from the Spirit of truth will judge us in the last day. So that is why Jesus spoke these words that we read in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 4, where we read there, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. We don't fear the Lord in knowing that thinking that he is not a God of his word. If we take him at his word and trust in his word, then we will have no fear. And the only fear actually we will have is the fear that is a good fear that will motivate us to do as we read in Ecclesiastes, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Speaking once again about whether we're spiritual or carnal, it reminds us of what John the Baptist was saying when he preached. If we're spiritual or we're carnal, then these words will apply to us. In Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. Now as the people were in expectation and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. So if we choose to be a spiritual person, if I choose and you choose to be a spiritual, then we'll be like that wheat that's gathered into the barn. And on the day of judgment, we'll hear some the most powerful and loving and great words that we could ever hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. But if we are carnal, then we will be like the chaff that he will burn with unquenchable fire. We also read over in Galatians about another analogy of how we should live and choose the right choice. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary and while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Speaking of this matter of death and the power that we have to bring forth fruit, Jesus spoke of these things in an analogy over in John chapter 12 and verses 20 through 26. We read there, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So if we choose to be spiritual, then we'll be a people who serve the Lord and look and know with confidence that God will honor us one day. But we have to bear fruit, as it says there, to give up ourselves in our carnal ways and selfish ways to go to God and live for Jesus. To be a spiritual sacrifice, living and make and present our bodies as living sacrifices, as we read over in Romans chapter 12. And then, once we are doing that, we're bearing that fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law, and we know that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So if you think about how to begin a spiritual life, we look over in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Speaking of Jesus as being the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. It says in verse 10 of John chapter 1, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we begin that spiritual life with a birth. And as you see there, it's a spiritual birth. We are born of God to begin our spiritual life. And Jesus spoke of this to Nicodemus as well, where he told Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. As we look at Romans chapter 6 and think about this birth trusting in the blood of Jesus that he shed in his death, we read in Romans chapter 6, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we all shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." So if we continue in our carnal and sinful and selfish ways and do not repent and do the will of God and obey, as we've read here, with trust in the Lord and trust in his blood, to be buried with him in baptism, to be cleansed at that moment in time by the Spirit and by our faith in him in that blood, we can rise from the waters of baptism to rise to walk in newness of life as a child of God, born of God, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. There's also a need for us, in order to be prepared for this new birth and the spiritual life, we must be convinced, knowing that the Scriptures are spirit and life, as we can read over in John chapter 6. And Jesus said in verse 45, "And it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So this just implies the need for us to be consistent and be dedicated and devoted to learning from the Lord as we are children of God, trusting in our Father and being busy about our Father's business. But if there's a need for repentance, certainly God is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so if you've never been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, then you need to be taught by God. And if you have learned the truth about Jesus and believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, and you are willing to repent from your sins and confess him before men, as we read in Matthew chapter 10, and be buried with the Lord in baptism to arise and walk in newness of life, being born of God, and you have that opportunity this morning. Also, if you are a member of the body of Christ and you need to repent, as we've read about in the book of 1 Corinthians, and perhaps there are sinful ways in your life and of a public nature, then this is your opportunity to come forward. Or if you need prayers from the brethren, then we will be glad and happy to pray. For we read in the Scriptures, "Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." So let us look to the cross, where we find the healing of Jesus through all the suffering he endured for us on the cross as he was scourged. And let us have faith in Jesus and what he did for us and what he continues to do for us, and obey from the heart that form of doctrine that's been delivered to us. For it, we know that Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. So at this time, let us sing the song of invitation. And if you need to respond, you may do so as we sing. Just as